Thank you so much. That was wonderful. God bless. Oof, that's good. We need a recording. All right. Good, good. Okay, the children's church group can head down to their time together. Have a good time. What a season, huh? You know, one of the most profound questions ever asked was in the title of a Christmas carol. What child is this? You remember the question, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? And of course, the great answer in the song is that he's the King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. And you know, that should be the great response of all people. They should enthrone the King Jesus in their hearts and minds as their Lord and Savior. And yet the question of what child is this really leads us to a further quest to discover as much as we can about this child who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the more we discover, the more we will want to and see the need to enthrone Jesus more and more in our lives. So, let's go back, not first to Bethlehem, but back to the Garden of Eden. Because it was in Eden that we are told that Christmas was coming. Well, not in those exact words, but let's take a look. Genesis 3:15, and speaking to Satan, and in the hearing of Adam and Eve, the Lord said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." This amazing passage is what is referred to as the Proto-Evangelium, or the first gospel. This amazing passage here. God is informing our first parents, and all humanity really, after them, that the crisis that had just occurred in creation and the curse that would follow due to sin and Satan would be corrected and conquered by the offspring of a woman, a human being that would come one day into the world. And even though Satan would strike his heel, this human being would crush Satan's head, picturing a complete and total victory over Satan and deliverance for God's people. So you see, from the very beginning, God put mankind on Messiah alert. You see it? On deliverer alert. On Savior alert. Think about it. Now it doesn't say, but Adam and Eve may have thought that this Messiah might be one of their own children. And then their children probably thought this coming Messiah might be one of their children. And on it went. And as the years passed, more and more clues were revealed as to Messiah's identity, as to how they would know that this child, this person, would be the one. But the point is, from that day on, all mankind was put on alert that there would come a time when this seed of a woman, this offspring of a woman, this human being, would come into the world to conquer sin and Satan. The entire Old Testament really can be summed up by saying that all who were followers of the one Creator and God were on a continual Messiah alert. They were on Messiah watch. And really, so should we be on Messiah watch for Jesus' second advent. Amen? Amen? He's coming back. Now here's another of course. Another of course is that of course this human being would have to be more than just human. Because no human can conquer Satan and remove the curse of sin. No, only God can do that. And so not only do we have the revelation of the first gospel in the Garden of Eden, but we also have the revelation of the incarnation. Oh my. There was coming a time when one would come into the world who would be both human and divine, and would be the conquering Messiah, the Christ, the Deliverer, the Savior. Which, another, of course, is just what Paul revealed happened that first Christmas. Let's read it through together from Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wow. Now, we think about that as we talked in our earlier prayer time. What a blessing to be able to call God our Abba, Father. Amen. The mighty God, the Creator of all, is our Abba, Father. Oh, just amazing. Now, another discovery and clue came through Jacob. While he was giving his last blessing to his sons, and when he came to Judah by the Spirit of God, he said this, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk." There's a celebration going on here. This promised one, the Messiah, would come through the line of Judah. Shiloh was a reference to the Messiah, the one in whom all rule and authority belonged and would be given. And thus the words of the song. The King of Kings, salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone Him. In fact, His rule is characterized by a paradise-like environment, as in back to Eden. You know, later the prophet Isaiah elaborates on this theme. He speaks about what it will be like when this Shiloh has taken up his scepter over all the earth. Look at this from Isaiah 11. In that day the wolf and the lamb will live together. The leopard will lie down with the baby goat. The calf and the yearling will be safe with the lion. And the little child will lead them. The cow will graze near the bear. The cub and the calf will lie down together. The lion will eat hay like a cow. The baby will play safely near the hole of a cobra. Yes, a little child will put its hand in the nest of deadly snakes without harm. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. As the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living in a setting like this? We will. It's coming. You know, here even the entire animal kingdom is going to be at peace with each other. Keep that in mind the next time that you're watching one of those National Geographic nature programs, you know, and the animals are fighting and attacking, and, well, you get the idea. But imagine walking through, well, say the jungles of the world in the coming kingdom. It's going to be like going to the petting zoo. Peace. When the Prince of Peace takes up the scepter to rule over his world, he's going to make his world like it was when he made it in Eden. It's going to go like back to Eden. Now, the Messiah's sovereign rule in his second advent was not to be confused with the Messiah's salvation sacrificed in his first advent. We've discussed that quite a bit. But still, the prophets and the people then, the church and the world now, need to know just who it is that we're talking about when we sing songs like, "What Child Is This?" He's the one that goes by a number of majestic titles, like what we read in our Chapel by the Sea memory verse. And then with the additional verse of verse 7, and I'll read it through again here. Well, actually, let's read it together. Let's do that. Here we go. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." What a wonderful, absolutely fantastic passage, right? We need to dwell on that a lot. You know, it's like Isaiah saying, just so you know who it is exactly that we're talking about when we say this child, as in this child that God told Adam and Eve was going to come through the seed of a woman. Yeah, this child is also our mighty God and our eternal Father. He's the one that comes through the family of Abraham and through the line of Judah and in the genealogy of David. And besides that, his birth will be a virgin birth. This is the one we're talking about. But again, the point is, the whole earth was put on Messiah alert so that when the Messiah arrived and someone asked, "What child is this?" Well, they would absolutely know who it is. In fact, there are over 100 prophecies made about Jesus even before his birth. All came to pass. God's word always comes to pass. Even when we think about this, what was more necessary, we could think, what did the people need? How many prophecies do they need? What more is necessary to believe and to find out and to see that we should all be on alert for his coming and for his second coming? What do we need? Well, the Lord is abundant in what he gives us. So much evidence, so many promises, so many prophecies. Because he wants his world on alert. He wants people to be watching for him. Yes, we're caught up in so many other things in life, surely. Caught up in all the responsibilities and the things going on. But foremost, watching for the Messiah. Watching for him. From the first revelation to our first parents about this coming child, what should have been first in their minds and the lives of every person on earth was to find out as much as they could about what child is this. And really, as we said, the same is to be true of us today. Foremost in our mind and life should be the discovery of everything that we can learn and then live out in answer to the question of, what child is this? What child is this? As we sang about in our praise song time together, as Mary looked at this child that had been made in her, she was also looking at the Creator who had made her. The Apostle Paul made that crystal clear when he later wrote in Colossians, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He created all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they are kings or lords, rulers or powers, everything has been created through him and for him. Think about it. How strange that so many people around the world this Christmas will sing about and they'll talk about this child in the manger, but not understand that this child is also the sovereign creator of all things in heaven and earth, including them. This one who made the world made them. He is the weaver of Psalm 139. Look at this. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You know, this is what even those living 1,000 years before this child was born understood about who this child would be. He would be the Messiah, who is both Savior and God and Creator. Now, speaking about what the psalmist knew about the Messiah, you know, David was granted one of the most amazing experiences ever, in that he was allowed to hear a conversation between God the Father and God the Son. And then he recorded it for us all to hear, for all mankind to read. Look at this from Psalm 110. This was the conversation. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will stretch forth your strong scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. In holy array, from the womb of the dawn, your youth are to you as the dew. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over a broad country. He will drink from the brook by the wayside, and therefore he will lift up his head. Wow. David said that the Lord, the Father, said to his Lord, the Messiah, that he's going to be given all rule and authority over all of the world. And of course, by calling the Messiah his Lord, David revealed the Messiah is both God and man. And David also revealed that the Messiah would not only be king over all the earth, but that he would be the eternal high priest. This is amazing. The unity of priest and king would be a unique order and actually would end the line of Aaron's priesthood. Jesus completed it all, completed the sacrifices, completed the priesthood. He's all complete in him. Remember, this is exactly what Hebrews tells us. Jesus became both our final high priest and final sacrifice. And as the promised Messiah king, he united both offices in one person. And that's why we're told in Hebrews 4, and therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, now let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. And therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is our Lord. This is our Messiah. This is our King. This is our High Priest, calling us to come to Him like this. What child is this? Well, He's the conqueror of sin and death and Satan. He's the mighty God, Creator, Prince of Peace. He is our great High Priest. He's the one mediator between God and man. He's the final sacrifice for removing our spiritual death sentence from us. He's the promised Messiah, the anointed one of God, who would deliver us out of the kingdom of death and darkness and into the kingdom of life and light. He's the coming King, who reminded us all that all authority has been given to Him in heaven and on earth to rule and to reign. And soon, He's coming back to do this very thing, because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. What child is this? Indeed. Indeed. Wow, let's pray. Lord God, thank You for the revelation of who You are in so many different ways, so many descriptions of who You are, so that we may know You and know You better and better and more throughout our lives, and enthrone You more and more, as the John the Baptist said, so that You may increase more and more in our lives as we decrease. Your place becomes more and more foremost in our lives. Thank You, Lord. May we be a part of the revealing the truths to a world that is still caught, held captive in death and darkness, so that they might find the deliverer and be delivered out of this darkness into a new kingdom. Kingdom of life, kingdom of light, kingdom of the Savior, of the Son of God. So we thank You, Lord. We pray that more and more will have understanding when they sing the songs, "What child is this?" And that they will bow in their hearts and lives and worship You and be wise in doing so. So we thank You, Lord, for this time we've had of worshiping You. This season that we can focus more and more on You, lift You up, let You lead. You're our sovereign God, our sovereign King. We thank You, Lord, and we worship You, our mighty God, eternal Father, our wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's been a pleasure to worship with you this day as we get closer and closer to Christmas. If we can be of help to you in anything in your own walk with the Lord, please let us know. But be sure and celebrate the fantastic, even though it's familiar. Celebrate the fantastic. God bless.